Render account of thy bailiffship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we speak about numbers game, because today's parable about the unjust bailiff speaks about a rich man who had in his service a bailiff. In the English of the Douay Rheims Bible, bailiff means a person whose job is to take care of someone's land or property. This bailiff of the gospel had for a long time done some wheeling and dealing, but he had now been caught and called by his employer, who said, "Render account of thy bailiffship." Because this bailiff knew that he would soon be out of job, he decided to make himself a good retirement fund by playing numbers game again. He called his master's debtors and told them to forge the IOUs so that the debtors would not need to pay as much as they owed, and in return they would of course reward the bailiff for this favor. Today's gospel teaches us a lesson about numbers game, which children of this world, as our Lord calls them, sometimes play. We Catholics too, or children of light, as we are called, because of the bad example of the world, we might also be tempted sometimes to play numbers game, to arrange things better for ourselves. And because of today's situation, when there is a worldwide false church competing for the souls of the faithful, the temptation of entering into their game, namely the numbers game, is bigger than ever. One way Catholics might be tempted to do numbers game is regarding the availability of Mass. A traditional Catholic, he cannot just seek a Mass. He must seek a Catholic Mass, said by a Catholic priest. A Mass which inserts the name of the leader of this new apostate church into its liturgy. That Mass might be, and usually is, a lot closer than a Mass where this name is not inserted. So a traditional Catholic, thinking which group or Mass to attend, he could save awful lots of miles and money by merely attending the closest Latin Mass chapel available. But for Catholics, the value of the Holy Mass is not and can never be measured in numbers. It is the amount of our love to God, which should be innumerable and endless, that is what counts, as is also doing the will of God, not ours. As our Lord said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God from thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment." And as you notice, there is no room for numbers game here. Other way people might try to play numbers game is to avoid our chapels because they are small and not as big as the established quote-unquote Mass centers. It is true, we have the losing hand in numbers game. We are small, but so are they. No matter what kind of Latin Mass group a person goes, he attends a group which belongs into a tiny and insignificant minority in the midst of billions of people of this world, who live without care of God or of tomorrow, not to mention eternity. There are about 500 established places of Latin Mass in the United States, and the Society of St. Pius X lists 118 chapels on their website. Impressive figures, surely, by international standards. But this amount is put into real perspective when you think that there are over 2,000 mosques in the U.S. And this was the figure from 10 years ago. And because of the mosque building boom, now there are probably many more. A mosque is a lot more readily available to an average American than a Latin Mass in any form is. So it should give you an idea how foolish numbers game is. Another temptation to numbers game might be that even in Masses said in union with the false church, the people might think that the people attending in those are in good faith, and therefore it doesn't matter too much if we should go there as well. It's certainly true that there are people attending false masses who are in good faith. But whether one's religion is right or wrong has nothing to do with how pleasant and well-mannered people they are, or how much goodwill and good faith they have. And these people of good faith attending the false church services, they are being taught or poisoned by regular basis by their pastors. If there are 100 people attending a church, the devil is perfectly happy to see one of them go to heaven if he, through constant seduction and false teaching, can send 99 of them to hell, a true hellish pastor instead of a good one. Of course, the devil would prefer to see 100 of them going into eternal damnation, but as long as he has the winning hand in the numbers game, he is happy. As Father Chotard writes in the Soul of the Apostolate, to destroy the diamond, he willingly gives a few sapphires. Another occasion when a Catholic might be tempted to play numbers game is if there's a big occasion in the different church, like wedding or funeral, where everyone expects him to attend. So it's good to make clear what Catechism tells about attending non-Catholic services. It is never allowed to attend non-Catholic service actively, like serving or singing, being a best man or maid of honor, or being a godparent. Such would be a profession of false religion and a denial of the true. In certain exceptional cases, Catholics may attend non-Catholic weddings and funerals, but only passively, that is, without joining in the prayers and hymns of the non-Catholic servers. And these occasions are exceptional ones, like the funeral of your own parents or siblings or a very close friend. Merely that of a casual acquaintance, wish of showing sympathy or avoid family's displeasure, would not be sufficient reason to attend non-Catholic service. And notice that in exceptional cases, you are allowed to attend non-Catholic service. Under no circumstances are you obliged to attend a false worship. And if you should need to make a choice whether to offend man or to offend God, you have to abandon man and choose God. For one day you must also render account of your bailiffship. Sometimes it can be straight forbidden for a Catholic to attend a ceremony if his attendance would give scandal. One example is invalid marriage, that is, divorce and remarriage, or if a Catholic would attempt to marry outside the Church. Sanctity and purity of marriage is something Catholics have always defended, even at the face of death. In the times of Henry VIII in England, so unwilling the Church was to take part in the numbers game that she rather let the whole nation go to schism than accept even one invalid marriage. This was also how St. Thomas More acted, and he is such a great example for us. If we ever feel pressured to attend a service we wouldn't want to go. Thomas More, he could have saved his chancellorship, his paycheck, and his life if he would just give in and go with the king when the king abandoned his real wife and attempted to marry outside the Church. There is a great scene in the movie A Man for All Seasons, which tells about St. Thomas More's life. In that scene, Henry VIII is at his wedding banquet after the ceremony with Anne Boleyn. But Henry is not really enjoying himself. His conscience still bothers him, and he is disappointed. Sure, he is surrounded by feasting people, all having merry, but they are nothing but toadies and flatterers. None of them cares about him or about God. They're only there to gain the good pleasure of the king, and he knows that very well. He only wishes that Thomas More would be there at the banquet, because everyone knows that Thomas More is a good, honest, and God-fearing man. And if he comes to the wedding, that would tell Henry that he is doing the right thing. So Henry, in the scene, spots a man whom he mistakenly thinks is More. He pushes the flatterers aside, hurries to the man, calling, "Thomas, Thomas, enjoy." And when he reaches the man, he notices that it's not him. He did not come after all. And you can see from the look of Henry that at that moment it was curtains for Thomas More. He had done an unforgivable sin. He had missed the wedding of the century. By missing the wedding, Thomas More would lose his office, his paycheck, his family, his friends, and even his life. But he was a man for all seasons. He remained steadfast for God Almighty and for his Church, even when everything and everyone else was against them. Because he knew that at the hour of his death, whether it would come sooner or later, he would hear the words of his Maker, "Render account of thy bailiffship." So, dear faithful, learn from the life of Christ and the saints that being a Catholic is sometimes a very lonely and unpopular life. During his ministry, our Lord saw many of his hearers walking away from him. And he then asked his 12 faithful, "Will you also depart?" And St. Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Those who hear the words which our Lord speaks through his Church and live accordingly, they have nothing to fear, even if they are constantly defeated in the numbers game of the world. I'll conclude with the encouraging words of the epistle: if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.